This guy here, William Cawley, he was the oddly, was the youngest stonemason ever to work in the caves here, or that we know of anyway, on record. William, there was two Williams, yeah, thank you, someone keep that lit up for me. There was two William Cawley down here. This is the grandson. If you look hard enough, you'll find his granddad's name from 1800s, bang on 1800s, I believe. It's in this chamber somewhere, not up here, down there, maybe, or over there. Okay, I know where it is, I'm not going to tell you. But his grandfather, William's grandfather, was an everyday miner down here. Okay, he worked down here. He didn't always know if he was going to get paid, depending on the quality of his stone. Now, we do know that one week, he couldn't earn the money to support his family. It's all in the local history books. And he got involved in something that a lot of the low-paid workers and the unskilled people around the area, especially in these coastal villages and hamlets around the place, used to get involved when he went smuggling. There's quite a few smugglers' routes down here, documented smugglers' routes in some of the old books that were written about the smugglers. William's granddad desperately went smuggling one night to try and support his family. He was a miner down here. Unfortunately, while he was on the way to his cave carrying his cask of contraband on the back of his neck, he wasn't too far away. He was in the paddock just to the west of where you're parked. As he was coming down the steep side of the slope, he slipped. As he slipped, he fell onto the ground. The cask broke his neck because it fell on the back of his neck as he hit the floor. In the morning, a farmer, do you want me to give you his name? A farmer found him in the morning and thought, I can see what's happened here. And the legend has it all that it was written in the books where he was laid on his back, he had his eyes open looking up into the sky, his head was pointing down the field, and it was blatantly obvious what happened because the cask of spirits had rolled down and was tangled in the brambles some distance below him. His work colleagues were informed here. And before the customs officers, they used to watch each other's backs. Back then, they didn't grass each other up like today, you know? And they thought, you know what? There's going to be a bit of a dark shadow cast over a grieving family here, you know, he was smuggling and it's obvious. So they picked up his body and they brought him into the caves and they kind of concocted a story that he had a mining accident and that's how he was killed. That just saved his family's face. Some years later, William was born. In 1849, this is grandson now. Okay, we don't know what happened to Dad. It's a complete mystery. Some years later, William was born, grandson. Now, his grandma, who was widowed some years before, who was the other William's wife, and his mother, they didn't want the same hardships for William working down here. So they scrimped and saved, and they worked every hour they could to put him through his apprenticeship. Because back then, you had to pay to be an apprentice. You weren't, like today, you kind of paid a small amount to learn that trade. You had to pay then, and it was a long-winded process to become a mason, 6 or 7 years. And masons, his grandma and his grandmother, they ran out of money. They managed 5 years, but it was actually a 7-year apprenticeship. And they didn't know what to do. He couldn't quite finish his course. Now, luckily for William, the church was so desperate for masons at the time, they heard of the predicament, and they stepped in. And on the understanding that William would have worked for at least 5 years for them on the completion of his masonry apprenticeship, they would pay for his last 2 years. And that's what happened. William was the youngest mason ever to become a mason in here at 19 years of age because unlike a lot of the names you see around, there's old Charlie up there again, a lot of these names were just people that came down here with a pencil, a bit of charcoal, and wrote their names on the wall. Where the masons, when they became fully fledged masons, they would climb up there with a hammer and chisel and actually scribe their name and inlay it with charcoal, and that's what William has done here, pretty much on the day he started working down here as a fully fledged mason in 1868.